Hello and welcome to Studies in the Gospels, heard each week right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program, where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And right now in our studies, we are looking at events concerning those last days of public teachings in that week before the cross. And today we're going to consider Matthew chapter 21, looking at verses 28 through 32, and the parable of the two sons. Now, in the verses leading up to our text today, in verses 23 through 27, we learn several things. Now, and even if you go back a little further to verses 23 through 27. And we know that Jesus has all authority, as we learn in chapter 28 and verse 18, when Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." But just before giving the parable of the two sons, we see that Jesus had exposed the hypocrisy of those skeptical questioners. And Jesus questioned them about John's baptism, to question their real lack of obedience to that which is required by God. We know that John had been sent from God to baptize, and that the Sadducees and the Pharisees had rejected John's baptism. Now, though they were religious leaders in name and title, they actually had no interest in being obedient to the inspired message of John. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ, and he preached about Jesus, the one who was to come. And because most people rejected the forerunner of Christ in the person of John, they naturally rejected the coming one, Jesus. And it is these very people of whom the Lord is dealing with in the parable of the two sons. Now let's go into our text now in Matthew chapter 21. And first let's notice verses 28 and 29. "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go, work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and went." So we find a man that had two sons, and he commanded them to spend the day working in his vineyard. Now they needed to do this, for Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." These two sons needed to obey the command of their father. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27 gives us a reminder of who our father is. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." God's children, the church, like the two sons, are commanded to work and to be obedient. Consider Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. James chapter 2 and verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. 1 John chapter 2 verses 3 and 4. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But now let's examine the request of the Father in this parable to see if it was something reasonable to command. We can note that the command was impartial. It was addressed to both sons. In fact, the request was loving and tender. It was preceded by a word of affections. It was not given as an order of a superior to an inferior, but he said, Son. It was reasonable. There is nothing improper for a son to work in his father's vineyard. In fact, it is work actually done in his own behalf, for he shall one day inherit the property. The request was also specific. The exact vineyard was identified, and if he was to go and work another vineyard, it would not fulfill the obligation. The father also pointed out the urgency of his work. The time of the work to be done is today and not tomorrow. We understand the necessity of the request. The work was necessary, for without it the vineyard would perish. All of these characteristics of the Father's command certainly have application today in God's command or invitation for man to work in his vineyard, which is the church. Consider 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now, one son at first rejected the will of his father, and then repented and went to work. Now, by initially rejecting the will of his father, the one son was inviting the wrath of his father for his disobedience. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. We find that many harlots and publicans had done this very thing in relation to Jesus, but then repented and went to work for the Lord and stood approved, because the fruits of their repentance showed the genuineness of their conversions. Think about Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turn from their evil way. And God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. The people of Nineveh brought forth the fruits of repentance. The first son's initial response did not remove his duty to obey the command of the father. Many people today attempt to remove their responsibilities in the Lord's service by simply not committing to anything. Our duty in the Lord's church is not based upon what we decide we are willing to do, but upon what Christ has commanded us to do with the authority which he has. Verse 30. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not. So, the second son lied to his father. He made a commitment but did not follow through on the commitment. Lying is a sin and is hated by God. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, the latter part says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Our commitment to Christ must be in word and deed. We must count the cost. The Sadducees and Pharisees were religious in appearance, but on the inside they were like whited sepulchres and full of dead men's bones. The second son's reply and actions were opposite of his brother. He said he would do it, but he didn't. The second son was a true hypocrite, just like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. How many today say that they love God, but yet give him no heed in their daily lives, in their language, their immorality, their unlawful relationships, their dishonest business dealings? Yet, their conversation, their Facebook status, their Twitter, their text messages, and their pretty plaques they put on their social networking wall claim their love for God. Now, the question is, which of the two did the will of the Father? That is what Jesus asked them in the first part of verse 31. They said to him, the first. Those who do the will of the Father will be rewarded. The first son obeyed his father in that he ended up fulfilling his request. Again, we go back to Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now notice the latter part of verse 31 and verse 32. Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. The tax collectors and harlots showed some interest in Jesus, and a number of them became believers. But neither of those two groups were obedient at the first. But we understand Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But many of the tax collectors and harlots repented and began to do what is right. Yet, those religious leaders among the scribes and the Pharisees continued in disobedience. The words of Jesus must have been a very stinging rebuke to the arrogant hypocrites of that day. All the so-called righteousness of the Pharisees could not save them while they were in rebellion against the commands of God. The so-called righteousness of many hypocrites today will find themselves, to their surprise, no better off than the Pharisees of old. All the previous sins of the tax collectors and harlots could not take away their hope in Christ as long as they heard and obeyed. Let's go to Luke chapter 18, and beginning in verses 9 through 14, let's see the parable there of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The hypocrites, by answering the first son to Jesus' question, thus condemn themselves. Friends, the world today is full of people saying one thing about the Lord and doing something entirely different. But the Lord will not accept those who practice this hypocrisy. Notice James chapter 1, beginning in verse 27. "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Also, consider Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Let us make sure that we are living by the same standard that we judge others by. Let us people that do the will of the Father daily keep the commandments of Jesus, because he is Lord and head of the church. Let us be mindful of our inheritance in heaven, and daily be at work in the Lord's vineyard. John chapter 4, verse 35 says, "Do you not say there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white to harvest." There is work to do. Are you a doer of the word or a hearer only? Is your heart right with God today? If it is not, I urge you to make it that way. If we can help you in any way, please contact us at office@tgrn.org. We'll be happy to help. I want to thank you for joining me today. I hope you'll tune in again next week, if the Lord wills, for another edition of Studies in the Gospels. And until then, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.